Today on Family Talk.
We have been so programmed over the last 20 years because of the media culture to think that parents are stupid. Turn on the television anytime you want. I don't care what channel it is. If it's a secular channel, watch anything for 30 minutes and tell me how fathers are portrayed in the commercials and the shows.
Fools.
Stupid,
absolute fools.
Ignorant fools, right? We've become so programmed in this nation to think that moms and dads don't really know much, that the government authorities or the medical professionals know better than we do, that even though it goes against our grain, we're silent. We're afraid to fight back. I shared with you the story once about the pediatrician. When I took my daughter, who was then about 9 years old, to the pediatrician, and she told me to leave the room. She was going to have a private chat with my daughter. She was stunned, this pediatrician was, when I refused to leave the room, because most mothers have been duped into thinking, oh, well, she's the professional. I guess I don't really know anything. I'm going to leave the room.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and today we're going to listen to a classic program featuring our former co-host, Luann Crane. So here now is Ryan Dobson opening up the program on this classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with my co-host, Luann Crane, and we've been looking forward to this visit from a very special communicator and culture watcher for some time, and it is Rebecca Hagelin.
Ryan, Rebecca is known throughout the whole nation for her books on child raising and family values. I even follow her weekly email blogs.
Me too.
But, Doctor, there's a personal connection for us here at Family Talk.
Well, it sure is. Rebecca is a member of our board of directors here at Family Talk, and we're so honored to have her. This is one great lady. She is recognized not only for the things that you all mentioned, her books and so on, but also for her insight and perspective on a wide variety of topics. You must read all the time, Rebecca, because you do know what's going on, and it's going to be fun talking to you about some of those things. You are also a veteran of hundreds of radio and television interviews, so this is no big deal to you, but it's a big deal to us. You were on CNN, and you've been on Fox News repeatedly and other network news programs. In 2007, I just want to get this in, the Claire Booth Luce Policy Institute named Rebecca Hagelin as one of the 12 great American conservative women. That's quite an honor.
I was shocked, yes.
And, of course, we at Family Talk are so honored to have her with us. You have been my guest several times as we've talked about your books, which I recommend highly. One of them was 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family. And we'll probably want to talk about the family and children in the course of this interview. Ryan referred to you as a culture watcher. Do you call yourself that? Do you consider yourself a person who deliberately takes note of what's going on in the cultures of the world?
Yes, and I would even take that one step further. I like to wake up each morning and think, Lord, what would you have me do today to impact what I'm seeing in the culture? So a culture warrior even. And I have to say right at the outset, that was a very kind introduction. But 99% of what I've learned in this great field of cultural impact and parenting, I actually learned from you, Dr. Dobson.
Oh, come on.
Over the years. No, absolutely. And the truths and teachings that you have spent your life on are as true today and applicable today to these generations and the challenges we face as they have ever been.
Well, it's symbiotic because I told you I was over in Palm Desert writing Bringing Up Girls and took a break and was out in the car and heard you interviewed on 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family. And it was really so relevant to what I was talking about, that I stole a few of your ideas and then wrote and apologized for it.
Well, I love that. I'm so honored you did. But it is good. And isn't that like the body of Christ, sharing information, what we've learned from each other, strengthening each other in our callings in life? That's what we're supposed to be doing, and applying that to the culture battles as well.
The first interview that we did, I think, was on your first book, Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. Right. How has the American culture run off the rails?
Well, if you look at it in a brief history, I mean, I know this show is not that long to go over all of history, but really it started in the 1950s. Our modern problems with throwing away all the traditions and values with family, no-fault divorce laws, the rise of the feminist movement. I mean, we can look at what's going on today and see a direct correlation through the early goals and statements of the radical feminist movement from the 60s, where some of their leaders said, our goal is to abolish the institution of marriage, where we can see a complete disregard for prayer in the public schools, throwing out the Bible reading. You see a pattern. And when you neglect God's rules and his timeless values for how human beings are supposed to relate to each other, chaos results.
And that chaos really got up and running during the 60s. Now, you're not old enough to remember that, but I
am. Thank you for saying
that. You talk about running off the rails.
Right.
In writing Bringing Up Girls, I said, the culture is at war with families for the heart and soul of its children. And in fact, the book that I mentioned a minute ago, How to Save Your Family in 30 Days and 30 Ways, I got that backwards,
That's okay. It's not the best title, but it's 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family.
And you're trying to save children from that culture that's out there that's not content to live their own life according to that worldview. They want you to do it, too, and they're going to take your kids away from you and force you to do things that violate your perspectives on Scripture and Christian principles, whether you like it or not. And a lot of that's going on in the public schools.
It's going on right now. I mean, we see case after case, incident after incident, where parents are denied influence in their local public schools, where parents have been arrested for coming and demanding their kid not be taught sex education. See, one of the things that I've really kind of come to the conclusion on through watching all this is there's two answers. One is a restoration of faith in this country. And when I say faith, I don't just mean any faith. I mean in a sovereign God and in Jesus Christ.
It used to be called a revival.
That's
then
right.
Spiritual renewal.
Amen. And it's happened throughout history, spiritual renewal and revival. So we need to pray for revival. The other one is the restoration of the family. Because there's an old saying, as the family goes, so goes the nation. There's another old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Those things are true. Mm-hmm. If the government's rocking the cradle, if the government is demanding that children must go to preschool, if the government is saying we're better off having your children in daycare 8 hours a day than you are, guess who's going to be ruling the world?
Yeah, that's right.
And the solution, though, is really quite simple. Thank you, Jesus. The solution is Christians being bold in our declaration of his truth and his love, and Christian families really living out the commitment of marriage and raising their own children.
I'll tell you, that's the ground floor. That's the foundation. Mm-hmm. We lose it there, and all the rest of this stuff isn't going to matter a whole lot.
That's right. I mean, the greatest source of poverty in America is what? Single motherhood, right? When families fall apart, the government steps in and becomes the nanny state, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, it does bother me that our candidates aren't saying, or that some of the candidates aren't saying that. I did hear Rick Santorum speak eloquently, or he tried to in one debate, explaining everything starts with a family unit, and that's really true. But I would like them all to be more bold on that.
The family's just getting torn apart, and the state comes in ridiculous situations. A woman was arrested in Texas for spanking her child. not abusing.
Right.
There was no abuse reported. There was no abuse claimed. And the judge said, you can't do that anymore. You know, maybe back in the day you could do that. You can't do that here. And then you've got a lesbian couple in California injecting their son, regardless of what they want to call him, with hormone blockers so that at some point he can choose his own gender.
Yeah, talk about child abuse, right?
It's child abuse. Mm-hmm. And the state's just saying, oh, they have the right to do what they want to do. But I guarantee you, Child Protective Services would take a kid away if they were spanking him.
Right.
And we'll be back to the program right after this.
Parents should have some firm objectives in mind that'll help guide their child-rearing efforts.
Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
Often when I'm flying into Los Angeles International Airport at night, I look ahead to see the green runway lights that tell the captain where to land the plane. He knows that if he brings his craft down between those borders, all should be well. In the same way, parents need some runway lights, some guiding principles that'll help them raise their children. Without a beacon or two to direct their flight, they are blindly approaching a very complex and important task. It's my view that there are two principles, two objectives that can serve as runway lights to guide the entire parent-child relationship. The first is to convey an awareness of love to our sons and daughters. Without it, they wither like a plant without water. The second is equally important, but less commonly recognized. It's the need to teach our kids to respect our leadership as parents. The child's relationship with the loving authority of his parents sets the stage for his attitude toward every other form of authority he will confront in life. With these two beacons firmly in place, your child has a good chance of making a successful flight and a safe landing beyond adolescence.
Hear more at myfamilytalk.com.
And now, back to the program.
So, I mean, it does take Christian men and women standing up and saying, I will not be bullied anymore. And I am going to do right by my family by being fully committed to my spouse. I mean, we have a big problem. When the divorce rate is almost as high within the church as it is outside of the church, we have to look to our own home first. And when I say our own home, our own Christianity first, and get it right so the world has something to model.
Rebecca, you've mentioned that twice now, that it can be as simple as just making sure that my own marriage is intact and strong. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, Ron, I don't think we make that connection. We think we have to be out there a warrior proclaiming things and showing up with placards at a school board meeting. But seriously, you mean that. It's as simple as me every day taking control of my family and keeping my marriage strong.
Yeah, I kind of see it as two parallel tracks. I'm called as a Christian to be committed to my marriage, to be the one who watches my husband's back, to raise my children in godliness. I'm also called as a Christian to be salt and light in the culture and to hold up that standard that the country should be operating under. And you've probably heard this said before, politics values neutral. It reflects the morality of the people who are involved in the system. And if the people who are running for office and are holding office are godless and socialists, guess what's going to happen to our country?
You mentioned a few minutes ago that the schools want to make the decisions for our kids, even if it's contradictory to what we believe. Are you aware, I know you are, that the Ninth Circuit in California issued a ruling saying that parents could not take their kids out of sex ed programs or take them home or whatever. They can't do that unless they're going to homeschool or put them into private schools or Christian schools.
Right.
Can you imagine a bunch of judges telling me what I can do with my own kids?
I can only imagine that if they're in the Ninth Circuit, because they have a habit of doing that.
And
there,
in California,
don't they?
Apparently,
I know, it's just
California
amazing.
Parents are willing to put up with that.
Well, and see, here is where one of the problems is. We have been so programmed over the last 20 years because of the media culture. to think that parents are stupid. Turn on the television anytime you want. I don't care what channel it is. If it's a secular channel, watch anything for 30 minutes and tell me how fathers are portrayed in the commercials and
as
the shows.
Fools. Yes.
Stupid,
absolute fools.
Ignorant fools, right? We've become so programmed in this nation to think that moms and dads don't really know much, that the government authorities or the medical professionals know better than we do, that even though it goes against our grain, we're silent. We're afraid to fight back. I shared with you the story once about the pediatrician. When I took my daughter, who was then about 9 years old, to the pediatrician, and she told me to leave the room. She was going to have a private chat with my daughter. She was stunned, this pediatrician was, when I refused to leave the room, because most mothers have been duped into thinking, oh, well, she's the professional. I guess I don't really know anything. I'm going to leave the room. We have to
remind us of what that pediatrician did.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'd taken my daughter, who was entering middle school, for a physical so she could run track. That's what the purpose of the visit was. And I had forgotten the county form. You know, here we talk about the government, all these government forms. I'd forgotten the county form, and I asked the doctor, oh, I forgot the form. Do you have one? She said, sure, go to my office and get one, and that'll be the perfect time for me to have the private chat that I have to have with your daughter anyway.
Unbelievable.
And in middle school, so how old?
Oh, my goodness. I'm
13,
getting old
really.
Now. I guess she was about 12. Yeah, I think she. Yeah. I think I said she was 9, but she was about 12 years old. And I said, private chat? Oh, no. I'll be here for everything. She goes, oh, you can't be, because I have to talk to her about sensitive things that you can't be in the room for. Mm-hmm. Second time I said, oh, no, I'll be here for all of the conversation you have with my daughter. Third time. It's illegal. You can't be. It's private. And I looked at her in the eye and I said, she's my daughter. I'm her mother and I'm staying.
Did you?
Shock and disbelief. Of course I did. Yeah. And she turned to my daughter and she said, oh, okay. Well, I'll have the chat with you that I was going to have if your mom was out. And first she said, okay, the first subject matter is, you know, you're in middle school now and tobacco is bad. Does anybody in your family smoke? And Kristen said, nobody smokes. She said, okay, I don't really have to talk about that then. And then she said, the next one is alcohol. Alcohol is easy because you're a minor and you can't drink anyway. And she said, and the third one is, you're entering the age where boys and girls are going to be spending more time together and doing things. And the bottom line is you just have to be comfortable physically doing. And I interrupted right there and I said, Kristen knows that sex is for marriage. And the doctor turned around and looked at me and then she looked straight back at my daughter and said, well, that's what some people believe.
Oh my goodness.
But you have to do what you're comfortable with. And so that's where very quickly the appointment ended.
I just think, how many moms would have said the third time after she goes, it's illegal for you to be here? Clearly, she's lying.
She's lying.
It's not illegal. She tells that to, I mean, 99 out of 100. Do you think one out of 100 moms would say, I'm sorry, I know that you're telling me it's illegal and there could be consequences for this, but I'm not leaving?
Right.
Moms aren't doing that.
Because moms don't know. We have been programmed for 20-something years now by the pop culture, which is ubiquitous, that we have no authority, that we have no right to impart our values to our children, that there are other professionals who know better than we do. Pat you on the head, you little, you know, stupid mother. So give the control to us. And there's nobody, well, few and far between these programs. The work of Family Talk is one of the few that's reinforcing to parents. No, you know, when you stand before God at Judgment Day, God is not going to look at you and your daughter and then call the doctor over in front of you. He's going to say, what did you do to raise your daughter for Christ? One of the most important things that happened out of that visit to the doctor was when my daughter and I got in our car. And we were driving home, and I am almost about to wreck. Now, I'm a very responsible driver, but I was so upset. Kristen said, Mom, calm down. I get what was going on. I said, Kristen, do you really understand it? Do you really understand what she was trying to do? She was trying to build a wedge between you and me. And let me ask you, who would be there for you late at night in the middle of the night if anything happens to you? Your dad and I, because we love you. Who's going to be there for you to your dying day? Mm-hmm. She's off to the next patient right now and probably doesn't even remember your name. Mm-hmm. There is nobody that's going to build a wedge or put a wedge between our relationship.
Rebecca, that is an incredible story. But it's being played out all across the nation.
Mm-hmm. I called my brother-in-law that night, who's a pediatrician in Florida, and I shared this story with my brother-in-law, a male pediatrician, and he said, it's a big problem, specifically with a lot of the female pediatricians, trying to be the one to become the sex counselors to the young women of today, rather than letting their mothers and fathers do it. So,
Luann, you've raised a daughter. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go through anything like that?
No, I didn't. And it just speaks to the weariness that I think we're feeling lately. Now, she's 25, so this would have been 12, 13 years ago. But I'm just thinking, as a mom, I can say no to things. I can do that, and I'm a fairly strong person. But I got to tell you, there's just so much to say no to. I just think watching a football game on Sunday afternoon, we have to have that remote control next to us the entire time to either mute or change the channel for every commercial. I'm raising two young men in my home right now, and every commercial, just like you said, Rebecca, belittles men, points them out that they're beer-drinking, you know, girl-watching buffoons. And I have to constantly, 8 or 10 times throughout that football game, turn to my sons and say, do you see the way that they are mocking you, that they are putting you down? And pretty much say, that's not how I see you. That's not how God made you. And it's this constant beating down that we're taking. And I just hope someone listening is saying, rise up again. I think of that scripture, though the righteous fall 7 times, they get up and they keep going. We cannot give up the fight.
And the modeling of rebellion that occurs for teenagers, too. That is everywhere.
We've been talking about that, about the way kids on TV programs talk to those parents. You hear it enough times during the day, and when your child says it, your brain somehow goes, well, that's how kids talk.
Right, it's horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
My goodness, indeed. Our time is gone.
I don't know how
Rebecca,
that happened so fast.
We've got to put a ribbon on this discussion because we've got parents out to see now. What did they do about
it? Okay, here's the good news.
It better be short or we'll pick it up next
time. Here's the good news. In poll after poll after poll of pre-teenagers and teenagers, when asked who's the greatest influence, they say overwhelmingly every time, my mom and my dad. When asked what would they change about their lives, they would say spending more time with my parents. It's not that you don't have influence. It's how are you using your influence with your children.
Do you know that parents don't know that?
They don't know that.
They don't know that their kids feel that way.
That's right. And we could do a whole program just on that and how there is so much hope in that, how there's so much to restoring the relationship with our children if we failed in the past by just being present and interested and involved in their lives.
Okay. Next time we're going to run right straight on down this road.
Sounds awesome. Thank you.
It's so good to have you here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the first part of a classic program here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about the Ministry of Family Talk or to listen to other classic programs, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you for joining us today. And we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of our program today, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Meg Meeker here for Family Talk. Where can you go to receive support and advice for you and your family? Family Talk interacts with millions of people every day with the inspiring advice and tips from Dr. James Dobson on what matters to you the most. Whether it's marriage or parenting, you can be sure our Facebook page will keep you updated with how your family can succeed. Join us each day for the latest broadcast, resources, and inspiration. Nowhere else can you hear a direct thought of the day from Dr. Dobson, as well as a special thought and conversation starter before you say goodnight. You can be sure that every post on our page is created with you and your family in mind. So please take the time to visit us and become part of our online community at facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. That's facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us by downloading the new Family Talk mobile app. You can not only use the app to hear our broadcast 24 hours a day, but you can view video commentaries or get answers to your family-related questions with our Solid Answers tool. They're all free and available on Android, iPhone, and iPad devices. I hope you'll visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.